Well, we get every, we always have a custom to give the members of the press on the first day. my English is excellent.
I know, it's excellent.
Mr. President, let me convey to you our President's hope and invitation to you.
Yeah.
When, for example, returning from Moscow, if you can stay a few hours with us in Istanbul, or if you prefer in Ankara, it would be very honorable for us to receive you even for a few hours, for example, in Istanbul. In May, Istanbul is wonderful. We can prepare for you a trip in the Bosphorus by boat.
Ah!
And you will have a look at the guideline of Istanbul, and after then you will have more time. It will be very late and time to see you in Ankara. But it is your desire and preference to come to Ankara, or your plane can land to Ankara or Istanbul.
I think
from the political point of view, after you listen to Moscow, it will be comfortable for Turkish public opinion. Because the Russian propaganda is very active, very strong in our country. We are surrounded now by countries very close to their system. Bulgaria, Iraq, and Syria.
Yes, you have Bulgaria, Iraq, and you have a long Russian border.
Very long.
Syria, there's a little...
Syria is very close to the Baath Party. Yeah, it's very close to the Russian system.
And Bulgaria.
Bulgaria is completely armed by Russian weapons. And our military commanding is very excited about that.
Yeah. What the Prime Minister was suggesting last night, I checked and found you like cigars, and I think we brought some. These are... We can't offer you food.
Thank you.
No humans.
No,
because you see that.
No,
those are Canary Islands.
Thank you.
And they're mango. They taste quite good. I hope that you like it.
But I excuse me, I don't smoke before lunch. And,
we have those for you. So. Well, anyway, he was suggesting that if we on our return from Moscow could stop, recognizing that we couldn't work on stations, but he said stopping for a few hours in Istanbul would be very reassuring thing. So very good luck in there. So if you put down some kids there, we'll get to what our schedule is.
Let me say that in that respect that I don't know what
This is the week of the anniversary of your taking over in office.
Yes, it's 26th of March last year.
On the 6th of March.
So I formed the new government.
The new government.
Just the anniversary. I was appointed at the 19th of March, and in 1 week I formed my new government. You know the events in Turkey. Yes, Mr. President, if you will permit me, I will begin by explaining to you what's going on in Turkey.
Good. That's what I would appreciate.
You can talk
in absolute confidence. We will not distribute our notes to anybody. This is just between us. So
I said that we are surrounded, and I must add to that the suppression is very active. This anarchist terrorist movement.
Subversives.
Used to subvert.
Supported by money.
And by
propaganda.
I will not denominate the state who is preparing and suffocate this feeling to this. But let us say state X. He has no hope. He has no hope to separate Turkey from NATO and Western allies. With democratic system, because in our parliament, two main parties are both for NATO allies, for Western partnership. Then, only way for them is to by subversive action, like in Czechoslovakia in 1948 against Mazarin, and Benes. They organized a very small minority, but resort and sustained by road. And one night they took over the power. Last night, in March 9th, we elect such a danger very closely. If the high commander of the army hadn't been enough elected, we just elect this danger. 9th of March 1971, a military coup with a connection with the anarchist and the terrorist, and I'm sure Philip Bayrou prepared their plan to, for example, to destroy the presidential palace by napalm bombs and to kill all the intellectuals who are against the communists. They infiltrated in the universities. And all the
universities, they always do that.
And mainly these anarchists and terrorists are university students. Even they push their organization toward the high school. Then the four commander of the army, the general of the staffs and three commanders of the air, and ground forces presented a memorandum to the President of the Republic, Parliament, to the government. And they said the situation in the country is very dangerous. You have to reconstitute a forceful government and look after this situation. Then the government resigned. The President of the Republic called me for forming the new government as a man neutral between the party politics, not implemented in party curl. Then, since this period, we try to stop the activities of the anarchists and terrorists. They kidnapped the General Consul of Israel and killed him last year. They were robbing every day one bank. They were menacing the rich men to take money from them. Every day the families were not sure that your children were going to school in the evening will come without wounded or without killed. It was a terrible situation. And after I formed the new government, They continued. They continued. They killed generals who of Israel after my taking office. Then we declared martial law. And now in 6 regions of the country, we have martial law. Military administration is looking after this kind of crime, terrorism, anarchism, and communism. In the same time, I am trying to maintain democratic institutions. The parliament is working, and in the parliament, the criticism is continuing. Every day, some of the parties fighting me too much. They say to me, go on or resign. The newspapers,
they want you to be more hardline.
More hardline.
Toward the anarchists.
Toward the anarchists, toward the communists.
And the others want you to be more softline.
Yes.
Very focused that way.
Yes.
But it's not that the middle is the right.
Yes. I'm as a professor of international
law,
I'm trying to maintain the constitution. And the constitutional institution, for example, we have a constitutional court looking after the constitutionality of the laws. If a law accepted by the parliament is final by the constitutional court anti-constitutional, then the law is no more applied. We have a conseil d'etat, French type conseil d'etat, looking after the acts of administration. Is this act conform or not to the laws? Our judiciary is very independent and impartial. They are continuing their work. As you saw, the newspaper men, all these newspaper men are, for example, from the opposition, and they are all excited. They are excited to become a very clear. And I am trying to maintain this system. I separated the anarchists and the terrorists, and I gave them to the military administration. The military, the tribunals looking after their case. The others, the normal people, normal common citizens, are living their own normal life. But it is a very difficult situation to maintain and to continue. If this situation was created by an internal organization or an amateurish students, it was very easy for me to stop that. But I am sure that it is fed by external organizations. In Stockholm, they have organizations.
In Stockholm,
they have a movement, an association for the separatism of Kurdish region of Turkey, southeastern Turkey. In East and West Germany, they have organizations. Actually, we have in Germany 500,000 Turkish workers. Mr. Fenno
is very good, too.
Yes,
right. I was there. Kissinger, when he was in Braun, they all say these Turkish workers are great.
Yes. 500,000 only workers, Mr. Fenno, children, etc., nearly 1 million.
Sure.
And we have students. Communist propaganda are working on this people. In Palestine, in the campus of Palestine girls, there is Turks, young boys,
yeah,
even girls, training them, and armed by dynamite, revolver, and other things for anarchy and terrorism, sent back to Turkey. Who is bringing them to this campuses and sent back there? Who is organizing in Stockholm these associations for dividing Turkey in many parts? I have no proving evidence, but the logic pushed me to conclude that it is someone who is interested to divide Turkey. To divide Turkey, to separate Turkey from a nation. For example, a few years ago, it was impossible for the government of this time to secure the 10 days ago, we arrested 58 officials from the army, young officers, lieutenants, and captains,
involved
by these organizations.
What age would they be? Their 20s, 30s?
Between 20 and 30.
And they were involved in the subversion of Jews.
Some one of these terrorists, leaders of the terrorists, evaded from the military prison near Istanbul. And we discovered that this lieutenant prepared this evasion. Then, from far, one couldn't realize what kind of danger menacing us actually in Turkey. And this is not, for example, a young person reads a Mao or a Karl Marx or Che Guevara, and then amateurishly they like to make the same thing, same organism. No, they are puppets of some others.
Stronger people, much better, tougher organized, I see.
And then, for example, we are trying to reorganize our army, to modernize the weapons of our army. But if, for example, the pilot of the plane, aeroplane, is gained by harms by other side, what we can do? Perhaps the material can nothing against the moral collapse of the officials. Then, I remember again Khrushchev's words some years ago. He said, we will not make the war, we will gain the world peacefully to the socialism.
Yeah.
One of the methods they are using now, in my understanding, not only in Turkey, but in all the countries, in Germany, in France. When I visited France in January, Chaban Delmas told me that yes, this anxiety that in France also, for example, in 1980s, the communism will become very big and very dangerous. The communist men in the towns are very well working, and people like them. That's the job we have to do. Then, our main problem now inside Turkey is to stop, to disorganize this anarchist and terrorist movement infiltrated in the army, infiltrated in the universities, even they are going to now to the high schools. And abroad, sometimes even our friends and ally doesn't realize what is Turkish main worries now. This is our main worry. We are very suffering from this kind of activities. Another part, for example, a professor at the university, if he is gained by communism, he is very dynamic, active. The others who are thinking like us are very timid, fearful, and when they talk with you, they will explain to you it's very bad, etc. When you ask them why you are not reacting, why you are not making a declaration, why you are not struggling, fighting, under menace, they say that we are fearful, we do nothing, etc. This is one of my main worries, Mr. President, in our country. But we are courageous enough, we are very decided and against that the army is in as a whole, the commander, the other officials, the captains, and above the captains, majors, and colonels, and lawyer. Loyal and they are firmly against the communists. They still are, you know, that's their tradition. But as the young generation
suburbia. On the other hand, you're trying to do it through constitutional means. What is the right way?
I was right, Mr. President.
You think it's better than the Greek code?
You can go in a dictatorship. How to come out of that?
And what you get is
if it is such a problem, one could solve it. And when the military commander go in politics, their own taxes suffer from that. And in a short time, they have between them some conflicts. And for the army, it's finished. We have in Turkey now a very professional. Very strong in his hierarchy, discipline. But then we put the military in the government, in the administration, in 6 months or 1 year's time, it's finished. I think we have to try this way. And if we can take measures, long-range measures, now my second subject is that in Turkey, unfortunately, there is an atmosphere, economically, socially, to give grounds for this kind of propaganda.
Yeah.
Because our population is growing each year 1 million. We are now 38 million. And our growth of population percentage is very high, highest in the world, 3%, 2.7%, 3%, like that.
Yeah.
And some part of our countries, above all the part near Iranian border, Iraqian border, Syrian border, is very backward. And the economic situation is very bad. Since 1961, we are applying 5 year plans. In this 5 year plans, we succeeded to take another level, to a higher level, the standard of living. But it is not enough yet. Because we couldn't give schools to everybody. We couldn't give jobs to everybody. I said we have 500,000 workers only in Germany. All over the world, we have 700,000. But still, 1.5 million people waiting for a job abroad. Because we couldn't procure them inside Turkey such jobs. Then, in the summer, I asked to you, Mr. President, to be helpful to us for our plan, 5 year plan, not by giving us money or credits, but supporting us, for example, at the World Bank, advising the World Bank to support Turkey in its efforts to resolve this economic and social problem. I can openly say to you, we have not enough know-how. I need so much your know-how. I need so much know-how of the World Bank. See, for example, the puppy, I said to Ambassador Handy, I don't ask money. I ask the specialists of the United States for creating in this region a new type of agriculture.
Sure.
Because the present man
is a grow something.
Yes, sir. And now this is going back, this program. I'm glad that our collaboration in this area.
We're very grateful.
Is going back.
We know it's hard for you, but we were very
grateful. They're criticizing me, they're attacking me, but never mind. I'm sure that we did very good things. Because the United States helping us since 1947, militarily, economically, morally, everywhere. And when I was reading in the newspaper, will apply that to other regions of Turkey for modernizing the agriculture in the country. It will create an example for the other regions of Turkey. In 1947, the United States sent us a road mission. Our highway system is created by this United States road mission. And everybody is remembering now that this road system is created by United States mission. Now, in the agriculture, when we prepare in small region, this new kind of agriculture, cultivation, or either some time sugar plants and others, etc. I'm sure that people will say again that with the collaboration of the United States, we had this result. Better agriculture, industry, etc. And then, when I analyzed the situation, I couldn't separate the military strength from the economic and social weakness. Yes, they are very intermingled, because the morale of the soldiers, morale of the official, is touched by this propaganda when the economic situation, social situation is not satisfactory enough. For example, now I gave the idea of saying that in 1995, Turkey will arrive by applying this 5-year plan at the per capita income of Italy's today's debt. I mean, $1,517 per capita. Italy is now at this level. At 1995, we will be a full member of economic community, of European Economic Community. Then we are trying for that. And we met Mr. McNamara. I have with me the Under Secretary of Planning Department. We have plans to explain to him. This project is very profitable for the World Bank also.
What do you mean? You have that.
Tomorrow. And
with McNamara.
McNamara, yes. Because they can invest in Turkey. And the projects are economical, but profitable. We don't ask charity.
I know that we have and well let me say in response to what you said. And I'll go from the specific to the general, if I may. Well, first, it's very helpful for me to get direct from you your analysis of the problem in Turkey. Because it's very foolish to look at a country and say, well, we have an alliance and everything's going all right. We have to say those things when we're speaking. Those of us who have responsibility have got to look below that facade of alliance and the rest and see whether the understructure is strong. And that's what you're looking at. That's what we're looking at. We have problems too, Now, first, on the economic side, now you get McNamara a call. You tell him that this is a call my direction, and that well, World Bank, of course, it's independent for us. That it is my strong conviction that they should look, should lean favorably toward action on the Turkish problem. First, because I think it's a good economic. He's got to judge the economics, but I think it's good economically. Not because I think the Turkish people are hard workers and good work, but they have. A responsible government. Second, would you are you going to see Connolly, our Secretary of Treasury, when you're here?
No, I
just see him in Denver, or anything. I believe he is. Well, if you would check to see if Connolly a very strong man, and he can cast our votes, you know, on these things. And tell the Secretary of my interest in this area. But we'll put all of our support behind. That doesn't mean that we are with you all the way. Second, with regard to the economic programs, that is the cooperation. We should, through John Hanna's AID office, we should be able to be of assistance on the agricultural side. I mean, here are all these farmers out there. You've got a climate that's like California. It can grow. If you can grow poppies, you can grow other things. And we have one of the things we're very good at in this country. We're not very good at other things, but we're very good at agriculture. We produce enough to feed ourselves and a lot of the rest of the world and 5% of our population. Tell Hanna that I want him as a special project to see what we are doing in Turkey and see what we can do to be of assistance. You need to talk to any of your men that you want. This is John, the director of the AID. The third point is one that you didn't raise, but I want to raise it because I think we should discuss it. Unfortunately, our Congress is becoming more isolationist, and it cut our military assistance budget. And as a result, there was a $40 million cut in the Turkish from $140 million to $60 million. I want to tell you that I not only fought that cut, but I will also do everything that I can to restore it and to find other ways that we can see that the $100 million level is maintained. Because the maintenance of your military establishment, apart from its importance to NATO, but in terms of internal stability in Turkey, I think is terribly important. If the military become disillusioned, then the radical forces would get a big lift. That doesn't mean you have to go all the way for the military in charge, but here you are trying to run a decent, honorable, parliamentary democracy when the easy course would be to throw up your hands and say, well, we just set up a dictatorship and off with their heads, and yet you would not be able to turn back. But we want you to succeed. I think it's very important that Turkey survive. Now that means that the military assistance program, that's where we can help some. And we should continue to, because our interests are involved too. NATO is not just yours, it's ours too. And you're the southern hinge. Economically, certainly where the sending of experts and the rest are concerned, we can be as helpful as we can there. In the international organizations, lending bodies like the World Bank, we can be helpful. I want to be sure that Conley explores with the Kearns and all that outfit, you know, the Export-Import Bank and the rest. Anything we can do in the Turkish to help to work with the Turkish government and the Turkish private enterprise, we want to do. Okay, so we'll follow up there and from the White House. I think you should make the same points, and I'm sure your foreign minister is to Rogers or others. But I already, my mind is made up, and we will follow up. Now going now from the specific to the general, we're in a very difficult and dangerous period. It is true, as I said earlier, that I've been to the China and PRC, and I'm going to go to Russia. You're coming in between. The world and people who live in our world, what we call the non-communist or free world, pants for peace, and it's very naive about it.
Yeah.
And they want to believe that peace is around the corner. And it would be very easy for people to become euphoric because I visited China and then I visited Russia and we have some agreements or something, I understand. But I think the revolutionary movements. Now, therefore, at a time when the U.S. moves with toward negotiation with the Russians and the Chinese, but particularly with the Russians, where you're concerned, it's vitally important that we see that our alliance is not weakened simply on the basis of the words we have good feeling in the West, because the alliance is still necessary until they change. Also, it's vitally important that we recognize the threat of internal subversion over the free world. It's interesting to note that you mentioned the problem in Turkey. You naturally would be a target because you're so close to them. On the other hand, it's a problem in France. It's a problem in Germany. Even the British, the Italians, of course, you can tell you the big Communist Party in Italy, and it would not. Now, how we are able to deal with that in this period of approaching détente is the critical question of our time. On the one hand, it's a very hopeful period. People say, well, finally the superpowers, the United States and Russia, and in another sense, the United States and a coming superpower, China, the most populous nations, they say are finally talking and negotiating, and they think that's good. And so that's hopeful. On the other hand, it's a very dangerous time, because it's much easier to unite the free nations, the non-communist nations, against the fear of the communist powers than it is to keep them together when the fear goes down. As the fear of what the Soviet is up to goes down, then the support for NATO, the support for a strong internal structure to keep the subversives from taking over, goes down. That's what happens. I'm aware of this, and obviously, the note that you are, I think it's very important that we recognize it. I think, too, that I want you to know that in talking to the Russians, as was the case in talking to the Chinese, that you can be absolutely certain that the talks will go forward having in mind this basic understanding that I have just described. I have no illusions. I feel if we can have an arms control agreement, that's good. Because neither of us, the Soviet Union or the United States, is going to allow the other to get an advantage, so we have to have agreements. And in certain other areas, we may have agreements. But I also realize that no matter how many agreements they sign with us, that their goal is the same, and that is to, through what Khrushchev described, peaceful means. He calls it peaceful competition, but he means competition in the non-communist world, not in the communist world. They don't want any competition there of ideas. But he says through peaceful means, take them over. They want to, and that's what they're trying to do. We're aware of that. That doesn't mean that we can say to them, stop it. We can say it, but they won't stop it. But it does mean that as we do negotiate with them, we must keep our guard up, and we must strengthen the institutions of free countries, strengthen them economically, strengthen them so that the young people are not fertile ground for the communist philosophy. This is a goal we must deals. Well, I suppose that what he is thinking about is that the Soviet Union and the United States should have a good understanding, but China should be out. But our policy is different. The policy I seek is quite deliberate. We seek good relations with both China and the United States. With both China and the Soviet Union. And we see it not not for the purpose of dividing the two, but because join with one against the other in the long run isn't going to make any sense. So we're going to continue down that road, but with our eyes wide open. And as we continue down this road of seeking better relations with China and the Soviet Union, the cornerstone of our policy must be to continue a close relationship based on real friendship with the free nations. By what I mean real friendship, I'm speaking not just in a personal sense, but I'm speaking in the sense that when one people have a philosophy toward life and toward government that is somewhat similar, then they can be friends. In a very different sense from people who have diametrically different philosophies, as was the case with the Soviet Union and China. So an agreement that we have with the USSR and with China must be solely based on self-interest. An agreement that we might have with Turkey could be based on an additional factor. It must have, of course, a solid foundation of self-interest as it does, but also the fact that we share common beliefs, and we want to see a world in which our beliefs can survive and prosper and grow. We don't say that everybody has to be like us. We don't say that we can change the Russians or the government. We can't change the Chinese government. We can't change the Romanian government and all the rest. But we do say that. From where we sit, that peoples who follow our philosophy, yours and ours, and our European friends, and in Asia, the whole ring of countries around the rimland, China, Japan, and all the rest, some of them are what we call parliamentary democracies, some may be called oligarchies, some may be that, but they're all non-communist. And we believe that is the better system. What I'm saying, Mr. Prime Minister, is that it's very important for you to know that my initiatives, and they are somewhat personal initiatives toward China and Russia, will not be taken at the expense of our friends. They're a matter of necessity. Because I think the alternative to taking these initiatives is an inevitable confrontation and conflict which will destroy the world many years from now, probably, but eventually it certainly will. But as we take these initiatives, I don't want our friends to feel that we deserve them, and now we look to these big powers that have been our adversaries, and we're going to play their game. That's what our group is. And that's why your visit is, to me, very important, because you represent a country that has been and is a friend, despite very great pressures not to be. It would be very easy to have for you and your government to sort of say, well, here's all of these unfriendly powers around us, why not China? But you haven't done that. And we did see propaganda, and well, sure, but they say that your self-interest requires me. So I can petition in Moscow.
Yeah. I feel his anxiety as much as
it's very important.
Activity in Turkey, they are trying to overthrow this state. tanks for 450 kilometers further range. Our tanks given by the United States has 170 kilometers further range. If our tanks start from, for example, Azov towards Russian border, at one third of the roads, they have different because they have 170 kilometer range.
Right.
But Russia has pretends 430 kilometers fuel range. This is for one refugee, one of the general told me that last 10 hours for a division, you had to put 10 hours for refugee tanks of a division. Then, when they saw that, they said, why the United States doesn't give us tanks, the last model tanks, we can stop the others? With this army, we could do nothing against this Russian and Bulgarian and Russian general staff was in Iraq and Syria last month, and they are leading up also Iraq and Syria.
Because we can't have it.
Yeah, I mean, this others for arms. In our religion, this kind of propaganda and counter-propaganda is very, very effective. Then, in Turkey, the communist propaganda is always making this kind of propaganda by saying that you see, the United States sent you the arms, is only the arms is discarded from his own army, you see, and doesn't give enough importance, enough attention to you. You are only the obedient servant of United States interests, etc. Our importance to it. Mr. President, I have another subject.
Yes.
It's Cyprus question.
Oh,
I will say very briefly.
Sure.
In Cyprus, we don't want the partition or other new solution. For Cyprus, 1959-1960, we started the arrangement, Greece, Turkey, England, Cypriot, Greek, and Cypriot Turk. I'm only asking to implement, to respect this arrangement signed by every party concerned. The Greek government is now more understandable. If Papadopoulos is good. He desired to push forward the relation, friendly relation between Turkey and Greece. I desire also.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that if Greece and Turkey are in good relations, the NATO allies will be strengthened by that. And in this region, Aegean Sea, we will be very strong force. Then Cyprus is a small island. No big importance, but we have to save Fez and Halki. See, without looking for a new solution, we have a solution. In 1959 and 60, we created a new state, a mixed state. The Greek and Turkish community together, they have a president Greek, a vice president Turk. They have 10 ministers government, 7 Greek, 3 Turks. This kind of administration, intermingling Turks and Greeks together. It was very good to essay, to try, because everywhere in the world, everybody is going for integration now. And we could try there, this integration. But MacArthur, he's a man of 18th century. Yeah, very chauvinistic. Very chauvinistic. Yeah, narrow-minded. But I always said, when Secretary Rogers was visiting Hungary in April, I asked him, help us to use your influence on MacArthur and to push him to make a compromise solution. Let us finish this program, and when this program will be settled, we will be very strong. Russia is trying on MacArthur. Every time MacArthur has difficulty with Aten or with Ankara, he's going to Moscow. Last time he gets Czechoslovak arms by the Russian influence. Russia said to Czechoslovakia to sell this arm to MacArthur, and they bought this arms. Russia always, like in Israel and Egypt, tried to create some headaches for us.
Sure.
But if the United States, England, and other NATO allies can counter are willing to have a compromise solution. We try together to get this compromise solution. I am sure that Mahalis couldn't resist longer. Now they have difficulty not with us, with Athenian government. Papadopoulos, they are very bad relations now. Papadopoulos asked the designation of Mahalis. And the religious council in Cyprus took decision for the resignation of MacArthur. MacArthur is resisting. We say there's no question to implement for us. We are out of this struggle between two great sides. This now in trouble is Athens. And then it is, I think it is time. push Mikhailos to make a compromise sort of arrangement with Greece, Turkey, and himself, and finish this problem. We don't ask partition, we don't ask annexion, we don't ask anything new. We only are asking the implementation of agreement signed by Mikhailos at the time, the implementation of the constitution of Cyprus. That's all. For Cyprus, I know. Your influence, your advice will be useful on Mikhailos' attempt.
On ourselves also.
Yeah. We are open to any kind of suggestion to finish this question, because it's foolish to continue that since 10 years this Cyprus problem as a headache on everybody. It's no matter of this problem for us. But one has to advise a just solution, a logical solution. Mikhailos has the idea to eliminate Turkish population, Turkish inhabitants from the island. He declared once that the 1959 arrangements are already dead. Unilaterally can declare that this arrangement is dead. Then Vice President Aydin visited Ankara. I asked to him, Mr. Vice President, please be my ambassador in Aden and explain to them my point of view about Serbia. He was very clear that he did so there, and he did so, and he came back. He did so. He created a very good impression in Ankara.
Very good.
Very good.
He's a good man.
He's very good.
We try not to get in between our friends.
I know,
in Cyprus.
I know this.
But I am sure that our interests are the same here. I'm afraid our friend is this Mikhailos is a comedy monster. 18th century man is a good description. Not so. But we must not let the Russians slip in, and because of our division, I mean the division of the Turks and the Greeks and all the rest, the Russians slip in and play the cards. He's pretty clever.
Each election in Cyprus, 35% of what communist vote.
Communist.
35%.
Yeah.
And Maccabi is gathering this time also.
It's
very, very tricky man, very clever.
He wants to stay at the church.
Yes. And I put on some notes. Mr. President, we are not so fixed on that. Do you think that Russians, having a strong fleet in the Mediterranean, will one day arise the question of Straits, Narrows, and
well, he said the question was with the Russians, or one day was raised in Russia and struck the Straits and the Dardanelles and the rest. Well, I think, Mr. Prime Minister, we have to face the fact that the Russians aren't building up their Mediterranean fleet just for the purpose of looking at the beauties of Cairo. They're breaking it up in order, they're building it up in order to develop a power center, a naval power center in the whole eastern Mediterranean. Now, that's one of the reasons why our policy is, of course, first to maintain our own sixth fleet at an adequate level, and second, to resist to the extent that we can extended Russian influence in the area. Of course, this gets to the very that difficult problem, which of course we know you're interested in, we are, the Middle East. The more the Russians come in to help the Egyptians, the more of a foothold they get in the Middle East. It's about it.
Thank you.
like to meet Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, we can be an intermediary between you. And he asked to us where we are thinking to put together these two leaders. And he said, in April, I came to recognize I am now preparing my public opinion to them. He answered to us this way.
Who said he was preparing? We don't want to do anything to embarrass him. It has to come, you know, it's there, it's a fact.
Our policy is very parallel to yours, and we are comforting Bhutto from our side.
Good.
He says our brothers,
right,
etc. But on the other side, Bangladesh is the biggest Muslim country now. More
than Western Muslims. Is that right? It's about me. And so poor.
So
all men of us poor. I mean, I know that many people criticize the United States for not joining, you know, for trying to resist India. But if we had not moved, and you, of course, moved in the same parallel direction, we're convinced that India, after knocking off them, Bangladesh would have gobbled up West Pakistan.
Yeah.
We just had to stop that. That's what we felt. And we at least stopped that. Because what that would have been a great tragedy.
Because the members of they couldn't live together after some mistakes.
That's right. After the terror and so forth. It's too bad. But having happened, though, it was very important for not to let it go further. To let India use Bangladesh as an excuse to finish off their old enemies, the Pakistanis. Pakistan still survives, at least, and it deserves it. I just hope Bhutto makes it. He's a very able man. They must have terrible problems.
Terrible. But he's trying to have everybody was scared. It's possible. One is
to make that
choice, you know.
He's always been that way. The trouble with him was that he put down the United States. That's his problem.
I had one last question.
Sure.
When he received Podgorno in April.
Yes, sir.
They hadn't officially proposed to us, but they have some gestures and moves that they can propose to us. Renew the old abrogated Turkish-Soviet good neighborship and non-aggression treaties. In our mind, it is impossible, being a NATO member, to sign a non-aggression agreement with the state of other bloc. We openly said to them a few years ago that we are members of NATO. Our decision is to stay there. They said, yes, we understand that. But with other members of NATO, we have closer relations. For example, with France, for example, with others. But for us, it is very dangerous. We are very close. For example, they proposed for us to consult each other. They are making this with Afghanistan, with Iran, and even with France. They have now the example of France, the first France. Even on that point, we are very hesitating and we will not go on this way to consult with Russia. To take permission each time from them to do something.
Before you assume
it, it's impossible to go to this way. It's very comfortable for us to say, you know, we are members of NATO. We have no problem with you. If you can arrange your problems with all NATO's, our leaders, United States, arrange with them, and there is no problem with you and us. We are always answering this way to them. At least we will make a declaration of good intention.
That's good. so that we can maybe have a chance to go over further things that we didn't get to do. Because of that, sometimes the dinner, sir,
it's me already are very much comforted me.
Well, and I appreciate
my little we will do our best.